You know, we always talk about scientific research as this like pure pursuit of knowledge. It's all very noble and high-minded. But when you actually start looking at the money involved, it's, well, it gets kind of messy.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of has to, right? Like, anytime you have this much money sloshing around, things are bound to get complicated.
Exactly. For instance, get this. Global spending on medical R&D, research and development, that is expected to hit something like $254 billion this year alone.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a huge amount of money. And all that investment, it makes sense. It's fueling incredible innovation. But you know that old saying, where there's muck, there's brass.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it makes you wonder, right, if all that money, all that muck, might be attracting some, let's just say, less than scrupulous operators alongside the real game changers.
It's a great point, and it's something we really need to pay attention to, I think. Because at that scale, you're going to have all sorts of players with all sorts of motivations, and not all of them are going to be, purely focused on the advancement of science for the benefit of humanity.
Right. And a big part of that whole system, of course, is scientific publishing. For researchers, it's their lifeblood. I mean, they have to publish to build a reputation, to get funding, basically to have a career.
Yeah, it's absolutely essential. Publications are their currency. It's how they show their worth, their impact.
Exactly. And the thing is, the way that currency is traded, the whole system of publishing, it's changed so much, especially in recent years. We've seen this big shift towards online journals and, especially open access publishing, which on the surface sounds amazing, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, the idea is to make scientific knowledge more widely available. Instead of having universities pay these crazy subscription fees for access to journals, the thought was, why not have the researchers or their funders pay a fee to have the article published online where anyone can read it? Open access. Seems like it should be a win-win.
It does. More access to knowledge, right? But, and here's the rub, this shift has created a whole new set of problems
Yeah.
and maybe even exacerbated some old ones.
Absolutely. And a big one, a really big one, is the rise of what we call predatory publishing. It's a real problem.
Okay, so let's talk about that,
Yeah.
because we all know about the pressure on researchers to publish or perish. I mean, it's brutal.
Oh, it is. They need to publish constantly to show they're productive, to get grants. And these predatory journals, they prey on that.
How so?
Basically, they offer researchers a fast track to publication, but with little to no real peer review. You pay the fee, they publish your paper. Quality doesn't matter.
So basically, a vanity press for science.
Pretty much. But it can be really damaging because these papers, they get out there, they look legitimate, but they haven't been properly vetted. So the science could be flawed, misleading, even dangerous in some cases.
Yikes. But I mean, surely most researchers can spot these predatory journals, right? They must be pretty obvious.
You'd think so, right? But it can be tricky. Some of them are getting pretty sophisticated, mimicking the look and feel of legitimate journals. And for researchers who are maybe new to the field or are under a lot of pressure to publish quickly, it can be easy to get sucked in. They might not even be aware of the problem. And sometimes, let's face it, the lower fees are attractive, especially for those with limited funding.
It's like a shortcut that could end up costing you a lot more in the long run.
Exactly. And it really highlights this tension in the whole system. Because on the one hand, you have these predatory journals that are clearly unethical, but then you have the big, well-established publishers, the ones we all know. And they're legitimate, of course, but their business model, well, it also raises some pretty serious ethical questions.
It does. Because the way they operate, it's almost like they've created a system where they profit from both ends. I mean, think about it. They get free content from researchers who aren't paid for their work, free peer review from other scientists who volunteer their time.
It's true. Their costs are relatively low when you consider the core value they're providing.
Right. Their main expenses are basically running the journals, managing the platforms. But then they turn around and charge these huge subscription fees to universities and libraries so people can actually access the research.
And it's not just subscriptions anymore. With the rise of open access, many of these publishers now charge authors hefty fees to make their articles freely available, those APCs we mentioned earlier. So essentially, they're getting paid on both sides of the equation.
And we're not talking about small amounts of money either. Some of these publishers are making huge profits.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's a very profitable industry. Elsevier, for instance, their science and medical publishing division brought in almost £3 billion in revenue last year. That's about $3.5 billion, with a 40% operating profit margin.
40%. That's insane. It's like tech company level profits.
Yeah, It is. And they're not alone. Springer Nature, another big publisher, is estimated to have similar margins on revenues of over €1.5 billion, and Wiley's research publishing arm, another billion in revenue, with margins usually between 25 and 35%.
So it's clear they're making a lot of money. But how? What's the secret sauce?
Well, the secret sauce, if you want to call it that, is that the core inputs, the research itself, and the peer review are essentially free for them. They leverage the existing system of academic incentives and the volunteer labor of scientists to build a highly profitable business model.
So basically, they've figured out a way to monetize something that's largely being produced for free.
Yeah.
And then they control access to it, either through subscriptions or these open access fees.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, when we talk about predatory practices in scientific publishing, it's important to remember that the big traditional publishers, well, they're certainly not engaging in outright fraud like those predatory journals. They do benefit from a system that can feel very exploitative to researchers.
Right, because it's this weird situation where the people creating the knowledge, the scientists, they often aren't getting directly paid for it by the publishers.
Yeah.
And the public, who ultimately benefit from the research, well, they often can't access it unless they're affiliated with an institution that pays for those expensive subscriptions.
Exactly. And that's the real ethical dilemma here, isn't it? Because on the one hand, these publishers are providing a valuable service. They manage the process, they ensure quality, they disseminate the research. But on the other hand, they're profiting handsomely from a system that relies heavily on free labor and public funding.
It's a tough one. And honestly, to make matters even more complicated, it's getting harder and harder to tell the good guys from the bad guys.
Yeah.
I mean, these predatory journals, they're getting more sophisticated in their tactics all the time.
Oh, yeah, it's a real cat and mouse game. They're mimicking the look and feel of legitimate journals, sometimes even getting indexed in reputable databases. They make false claims about their peer review processes and editorial boards, and they're getting good at it. Even AI algorithms that are designed to sniff out predatory journals, I often struggle to tell the difference.
That's like a minefield out there for researchers.
It really is. It's this murky landscape where it's becoming increasingly difficult to navigate. And for researchers, especially those early in their careers, it can be really daunting.
So, given all this, are there any alternatives? I mean, is anyone pushing back against this system?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a growing movement towards more open and equitable models of scientific publishing. You have platforms like PLOS ONE, which is a well-respected open access journal, and ArtsForv, which is a preprint server where researchers can share their work before it's been peer-reviewed.
And those are good options for sure. But even with open access, don't authors often still have to pay fees to publish?
Yeah, that's right. While these initiatives aim to make research more widely accessible, many of them still operate on a commercial model, relying on author-paid APCs. And that can still be a barrier, especially for researchers in less well-funded institutions or countries.
So it's not a perfect solution. And I know there have been some pretty vocal protests against the practices of the big
Oh,
publishers.
yeah, definitely. There was the Elsevier boycott a few years back, where thousands of researchers pledged not to publish in, review for, or edit Elsevier journals. And that was part of a broader movement called the Cost of Knowledge, which aimed to raise awareness about the high cost of access to scientific research and to push for more equitable publishing models.
So it sounds like the scientific community is definitely starting to flex its muscles, but it's still an uphill battle. And honestly, when you consider the profits those big publishers are making, it can feel a bit David versus Goliath.
It can, but there are some encouraging signs. And you know, in this whole discussion about monsters in scientific publishing, there's one example that stands out as a kind of shining light, a real good wizard, if you will, and that's PubMed.
PubMed, tell me more about that.
Well, PubMed is a free online database of biomedical literature that's run by the National Library of Medicine, the NLM. It's been around since 1996, and it's basically a treasure trove of information. It has millions of citations and abstracts from a wide range of scientific journals.
So it's a government-funded initiative.
That's right. It's a public resource, and the amazing thing is anyone can access it for free. You don't need a subscription. You don't need to be affiliated with a university. It's all open.
Wow. That's pretty remarkable, especially considering how much of scientific publishing is now behind paywalls.
Yeah, it really is. And it just shows that there are other models out there, models that prioritize access and equity over profit.
And it makes you think, right, if a government agency can create and maintain a resource like PubMed, which is so valuable to researchers all over the world, maybe there's a bigger role for governments to play in supporting open access and maybe even challenging the dominance of those for-profit publishers?
Yeah, it's a really important question to consider. I mean, after all, so much of the research that these publishers are profiting from is funded by taxpayers. So maybe there's an argument to be made that the public should have more direct access to the fruits of that research.
It makes sense. And it all circles back to this question of who are the real monsters in scientific publishing. I mean, we've got the predatory journals, which are pretty straightforwardly bad actors, but then you have the big traditional publishers who are operating within the system legally and often very profitably. So where do we draw the line?
Right. And that's the challenge, isn't it? Because there's a lot of nuance here. It's not always black and white, but I think it comes down to how we value scientific knowledge and who we think should benefit from it.
Yeah. This whole system, it's almost like this beast, right? This insatiable creature that feeds on the hopes and dreams of researchers, always demanding more, more publications, more fees, more profit. It's like that line from the Bible, weighed in the balance and found wanting.
It's a powerful image, and I think it captures the feeling that many people have about the state of scientific publishing today.
So let's try to sum this up. We started by talking about how much money is being poured into medical research, which is amazing, but also creates opportunities for exploitation. We looked at predatory publishing, which is clearly unethical, but also at the practices of the big traditional publishers, which raise some serious ethical questions about access and equity. We talked about open access as a potential solution, but even many of those models are still commercially driven. And then we had PubMed, which is this awesome example of a free, publicly funded resource that shows what's possible when we prioritize access to knowledge. It's a complex landscape, to say the least.
It is. But understanding this landscape, understanding how these different models and incentives work, is crucial for anyone who cares about science, which is, you know, pretty much everyone.
Absolutely. And on that note, here's a final thought to leave you with. If so much of scientific research is funded by taxpayers, what does it mean for that knowledge to be owned and controlled by for-profit companies? And in this age of digital information, shouldn't we be striding for a system where access to knowledge is more equitable, where the benefits of scientific progress are shared more broadly? It's something to think about.
It is.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.